Hello there, and welcome to this rather reflective episode of the History Rocks podcast. Big hello to all of our regular listeners out there and new ones that might be joining us this year. This episode comes with a health warning at the start. Something I need to say, obviously, is that I am not here in any official capacity. I'm not representing any exam board or none of my views are endorsed by them. They're all just my own personal opinions based upon things that, you know, have come back and have seen and my experience, really. And it's just there to be sort of helpful to students and teachers who might be taking the exam again this year, the next set in 2020. And, you know, I hope you'll find this useful. And you'll get something from it. I'm going to start, though, with a really naff joke, because you know I love them. This one was told to me by a six-year-old yesterday, and it goes like this. How was the Roman Empire cut in half? With a pair of scissors, of course. Yes, it is really, truly awful. I know. But we love them. We love these jokes. They're fantastic. Okay, so well, I hope you're having a great break. You know, here's a few thoughts about. I'm going to initially talk about paper one, section A, the whole extracts thing, because I get the sense that this is the one that probably struggled most this year, looking at the sort of responses and things like that that came back. So, the good news, I would say, is that most of the answers that I'd seen understand that they need to talk about whether the extracts are convincing or not. They understand that they need to cover all three of the extracts and do it roughly within the time allowance given, which is very short. Remember, 5 minutes reading, 15 minutes writing. But I would say, you know, from the responses that I looked at, most of them were able to do it within that time and wrote roughly an equal amount for each of the extracts that were given. So that's great. That's a grand thing. I think the other thing to note as well is that I've seen very few where they're talking about provenance, which is good. So if you are a student out there or a centre and, you know, there's been some sort of mix up between paper one and paper two skills, just take note of the fact that they don't need to mention provenance at all in the extract answers. In fact, you're not going to get any credit for it. So if they're rewriting out the attribute to the extract, you know, the author and when it was published and stuff like that, it's really unnecessary. And to be fair, it's likely to take away from the time that they've got, which is precious. So yeah, I would steer them clear from that this time around if that's something that's been happening. And if you're a student yourself and you know that you're doing it, just bin that, focus on the other stuff that you'll need to do. So those were some of the highlights, and there were some really great answers. I saw some fantastic answers where they used selectively own knowledge to support and challenge arguments put forward in each of the extracts and, you know, made judgments on the extracts in relation to the question. Of course, they did very well. I guess then we should look at some of the things where some people are still struggling and what the low lights were. And I've just picked out a few to discuss with you today. The biggest one I would say is people describing the extracts rather than evaluating them. And you can understand, especially if they're unsure on what the arguments are within the extracts, that they fall back upon this technique. But what it means is that the likelihood is, if they're describing the extracts, they could well be going into level two. They might get into the bottom of three. It depends really on the quality of the answer given, but they're not really going to go much higher than that. Now, you can usually spot these descriptive answers by the fact that they start paragraphs with things like this. Extract A states, extract A shows, extract A, you know, suggests or says. And then they go through it in a sort of line by line verbatim, paraphrasing what the extract states. They might say, oh, this is convincing or not, every so often. And sometimes that can be quite assertive. So they're not backing it up with any of their own evidence. And that really is missing the point of the exercise, because the exercise is about finding the main arguments within the extract and finding other arguments with it as well and evaluating those. So if they're just going through a descriptive thing, they're not really evaluating, are they? It's just sort of using up word count. So this can still rear its head in some of the answers, and that might be why some of the candidates have not performed as well as they could. The other big thing to think about is that they need to find the main arguments in all three of the extracts. Now, generally speaking, the way I say it is that the main argument is like the headline. It's the gist of the extract overall in relation to the question, what's it trying to argue? Okay. So you're looking for that. So imagine if you had to give this extract a headline, say you're a newspaper editor or something like that, what would the headline read? And once you've got that, then you can look at other things that have been argued within the extract in relation to the question. But the majority, I'd say, of the papers will have a main argument within each three of the extracts, usually quite different to each other as well, in relation to the question. So big push, I would say, on that. If you're teaching it and teaching it for the first time, it's about sort of, you know, helping the students understand what is the difference between facts and opinions and arguments and things like that. I've got, actually, if you are teaching this, a few resources that could be useful to you. Take a look at the T&L booklets that's on the history.co.uk website. Those exercises will, in a gradiated fashion, help students break down extracts, understand them, find the arguments, and then build them up to a full-blown answer and what it is expected from them. I think you'll find that really useful. Other things then I would say is there's a lot of assertion of whether something's convincing or not. And with that, sometimes very little balance. So quite a lot of extracts responses began with the phrase, extract A is convincing when it says, and then they describe what the extract says, and then there's a full stop. And then sometimes they will bring in some evidence and they'll start that next sentence with, in 1956, this happened, that happened, and the other happened. So there's a disconnect then between the statement about something being convincing and the evidence provided. So if you're going to use evidence, you need to demonstrate that that's what you're doing. Evidence to support this argument or evidence to challenge this argument would include, for instance, and then go in with that evidence. In addition, saying extract A is convincing when it says is not really making a supported evaluation, is it really? Quite often I'm unclear as to what the argument is. Quite often that approach leads to fact testing, you know, checking, testing facts within the extract, whether this happened or that happened or the other happened, rather than an evaluation of the arguments being presented. So the purpose of this is not to say whether something in the extract is true or not. That's not the point. The purpose of this exercise is to find the arguments and say whether they are convincing or not. So that phrase, extract A is convincing when it says, kind of leads into that fact testing. So I would steer them away from doing that. You probably want to start with something else, like, you know, the main argument in extract A is this, which is especially convincing. It argues this, this, and this, and this is supported by, and then bring in some evidence to show that. Making sure then that you don't just pull out one argument from the extract, and then just argue for and against it. It comes across that you don't have a sustained judgment when you do that. Equally, it means that you're not fully interrogating what the extract is asking from you. So, you know, you need at least, I'd say, three arguments coming from the extract, really, in my personal humble opinion, for it to appear as though it's been fully interrogated as an extract. And in addition, there's a tendency with some, and it's happened with some of my own, where they've listed all of the arguments at the beginning and then gone into a paragraph to say, well, this is true, or this is convincing because, and then list a load of evidence. It's unclear then as to which evidence matches which argument, and it has a tendency then to not fully interrogate what the extract's asking as well. And then finally, I'd say, you know, linking to the question, sometimes answers go into an evaluation of points made in the extract, but it's not linked to the question. So it ends up as being very abstract. So if you are, answering a question on, the October Revolution, but you start going into an evaluation of, you know, whether Lenin fled at that point or not, and you've not linked it to the October Revolution, well, it's not really answering the question, is it? So that's what you need to be doing. So in summary then, avoid describing the extract, and we said how that often starts. Look for the main arguments and then the supporting arguments within the extract. Making sure as well that you are not just simply testing facts, but you are evaluating the arguments put forward, and making sure that all of your judgment is linking to the question as you go. So those are just some thoughts, really. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what you think and what your experience has been. You know, have you had a look at sort of your own student responses come back? What do you, anything you want to share? By all means, drop us a line. You can tweet us on My History Rocks, and it'd be lovely to have a discussion with you. But equally, if you are new to this and you feel like you are a little nervous about dealing with the extracts, why not get in touch with me? And, you know, we can see what kind of support we can set up for you. Email me on hello@historyrocks.co.uk. Right, I'm going to salute you and let you go for this afternoon. I'm going to go and have a strong coffee as we're gearing up to the start of the big term. So I hope you have a great rest of the day, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye now.